Well, you picked a good day to be here. Not only we get to have a great worship band lead us, but also it's Sunday. So after church, you get dessert before lunch, because that's just the way we do it around here, man. You know, it's going to be awesome. So we're going to have a great day as we celebrate the end of school year and just spend a little time together. We've been talking for the last several weeks about what it means to be a family. What does it look like biblically to be a family? What's the calling of the family in Scripture? And we saw several weeks ago that families are made up of all, really, if you look through the Scripture, there's no perfect family in there. All different kinds and sorts of families, all kinds of messes with families. What we saw instead is that God works through the mess to create great families. That video just likes to run. That video wants to play, man. That God works through messy situations to give his grace to messy families. And God blesses people through that. And as we've looked at that, we've also looked at what do we focus on as a family? That so often we focus on all kinds of things. We don't focus necessarily on people and relationships. And we talked about what does it mean to put relationships at the center of what our families are about. And then last week we talked about how that takes time, and we have to put effort into that, and we have to create space for that. And today I want to take a look one more time as we close this series out at the family in Scripture. We're going to look at a theology of the family, who families really are, as we look at them in Scripture. Would you pray with me today? Father, as we open your word, we're amazed that you would write to us, that you would speak to us, this group of people right here in this room. Father, I pray that your words would be clear, that we would get it, that you would grab hold of our hearts, our minds. Most of all, God, that you would help us to put it into practice to really live your word out. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. I spent some time on a T-ball field this week. I do that on lots of weeks these days. And normally I'm a pretty intense dad. You know, I'm the kind of dad that doesn't tell people I'm a pastor, you know, because I don't want them to think badly of me when they hear me yelling and screaming on the sideline of a ball field. But for whatever reason, the other day I was just able to kind of just sit back and watch, and I was watching all kinds of dads get pretty frustrated with their little guys, little 5 and 6 year olds, and I was seeing them. They weren't trying to get them to be great ball players, really. They were just trying to get them to behave, you know. Hey, stop hitting each other with bats, and don't throw dirt in each other's face, you know. And there's so much focus on trying to get those little guys to behave. And I saw some dads get super frustrated and try to correct a kid on a ball field. That's tricky. You know, and the kid just doesn't care. You know, he's 50 yards from you, so he can ignore you. And I just was watching that whole thing go down. And I was thinking, oh, it is so hard to parent, to get kids to do what they're supposed to do, to behave. It's hard for all of families to get families to do what they're supposed to do. We spend so much time and energy focusing on those things. That can just be exhausting. And if it's not, if it's not behavior, Then it's this focus of trying to give our families the perfect life so that they would have all the right stuff. They would go to the right camps. They would be part of the right teams. They would get the right grades. Focus on that. And for some of us later in life, as the kids are not in the picture, we're still trying to create the best experience, trying to have the best times together, at the right boats or the right cabins. We have all these things that we kind of focus on. We're trying to fix and tweak in our families, and it can just be frustrating. It is tough to get the right things in order. It is tough to get your kids to behave. All my life, my dad was a pastor, and some of you will know this. Pastors are not great at leaving church on time. They kind of just hang out and talk to people. They just talk on and on and on and on. And as a pastor's kid, your whole goal is to get your parent out of there, you know. Get on. It's time to eat. And when my brother and I were little kids, my dad was just talking after church, just chatting. And my brother tried to get my dad's attention, and he wouldn't pay any attention. And he tried to get my dad's attention. He wouldn't pay any attention. He tugged on my dad's coat. My dad was just, you know, I'm talking, son. And then my brother, he's a little guy, he just reached up, his perfect height, and he just grabbed my dad's zipper, and he just unzipped his pants, just like that. Now, what do you do, right? How do you get out of that? Do you turn politely in the middle of conversation? Excuse me a second. How do you get out of that? These guys are squirrely. I can focus all I want. I can't get them to do the right thing. There's a great organization that's helped families over the years called Focus on the Families, help families pay attention to family issues, and that's a good thing, to focus on our families. But sometimes we focus so much on what our families are doing right or wrong, we can drown actually in focus just on our families. We talk about this sometimes with work. We say, you know, you can get into sort of the rat race of work, chasing after the next promotion and the next thing, and it can just feel like an endless cycle, like a hamster wheel, and that you'll never get there and you'll never find fulfillment. The truth is, that's not just true of work. That can be true of our families. We can get so internally focused that we just drown. Too much focus on the family. You guys remember the beginning of the pandemic? I know that was a long time ago. You remember back then? When they locked us in our houses with our families? Do you remember that part? And it was awesome for like 5 minutes, you know? And then I just remember one day coming out of my office. I had a little office at home. It didn't have any soundproofing. It was just madness. And I was just like, we've got to get out of here. We got to go. I don't care where we go. I don't care what we do. We got to go. Let's get going. We can drown in this focus on our families and internally all the little issues and all the little problems and all the things we wish to correct and all the hopes we want to have, because sometimes we miss what the family's really designed to do. And so I want to take a few minutes and look at really the theology of the family. How we're designed as families. Let's open up to Genesis. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 12 today, and you can grab your Bible and turn there with me. But in Genesis, as we look at Genesis and go right back to the beginning, the first story there in Genesis, the story of creation, we would find that God creates the whole world, and the first thing that he says is not good. It is for man to be alone. And he says, we're created for each other. We're created for families. And God puts a family right in the first part of Scripture, right the first story, God puts the family right there. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He says, we're created for relationship. We're made for this. Now, your families might look a lot of different ways and a lot of different structures, and we've seen that all through Scripture, how God blesses that and how God gives grace there. But still, we know this. We're created for these relationships. And we said relationship has to be the thing that you're about as a family, where you have to put your energy and time and focus. This matters. We see that right in Genesis. But then as we get to Genesis chapter 12, we're starting to see that God is saying, hey, this is what I want to do with families, right? The relationship, that's right at the beginning. And then he says, and now there's more. He says, your family has a purpose. Families actually have a calling. And in Genesis chapter 12, we have the story of Abraham and his family. There's sort of the central family of the Old Testament. And what we see is God saying, I want to be at work in my world. I'm going to be at work in the people of my world. There are people that need, they're broken and they need redemption. There are people that need to be drawn to me. There are things that need to be fixed and healed and made whole. And the way I'm going to do it is through a family. I'm going to use families to do my work in the world. Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 12. We'll pick it up in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, that's an incredible passage, right? God speaks to the family, to Abram. He says, you're going to be blessed. Now, I wish God would just speak to my family and say, you're going to be blessed. Wouldn't that be great? I know that if God did that, he'd be like, your family's going to be blessed. You're going to get a boat, you know? You're going to get a vacation house. You're going to get all the things. If I pray for God to bless my family, you know, what would that look like? If you prayed for God to bless your family, you might pray a few good things, but you got some stuff in the back of your mind, some stuff that God just needs to fix up, some kids that God needs to, you know, straighten out. You got some pieces that you just long for. What's interesting about this calling is it starts with literally like a calling. You see the beginning of it there? He says, go from your country, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Doesn't give him a lot of details, but he says, you're about to move. Congratulations, you're blessed. You have to move. Anybody moved recently? That is not a blessing. You know, that is work. You get to move. You have this calling. You got to pick up and go. You're being called into something. Your blessing is to have a purpose. He calls them to a task. And I think that's really interesting because we know that the families are created for the relationship. We're created for this relationship with each other. But then if left to our own devices, we start to focus on ourselves. We start to focus on the things that we want, even sometimes good things, little tweaks and fixes, little bits of behavior, even if they're good. We get bogged down in that focus. And as God starts to call families, he starts to show us that families have purpose that's beyond just fixing themselves. Being part of a mission that God has actually called you to, being part of God's mission in the world to bring redemption. And so Abraham's family, they're called, and then they're blessed, but they don't get a boat. He says, you're blessing, you're being blessed in order to be a blessing. I'm blessing you to be a blessing to the world around you. He says to Abram, I've got this purpose in the world and your family is going to be a part of it. I'm going to bless you so that others are blessed. Your blessing is a job that I'm giving you. Your blessing is this mission that I'm putting you on. If you want to find joy, you'll find joy in the job. You'll find joy in the mission. You'll find joy in this purpose that you get to be a part of God's purpose in the world. That's the calling of the family of Abraham. As we look through scripture, we start to see how families are lined out. Families are created to have relationship with each other, but they're created for purpose. They're created with calling. In fact, then as we get to the New Testament, there's a couple different places where Paul really writes specifically to the church in the New Testament about families. He gets real specific about it. There's two different places in Ephesians and in Colossians. We've actually been looking at those the last several weeks. We've kind of dived in where Paul talks of families about how they're to relate to each other and how they're to care for each other. And when in Ephesians 5, when he's talking about how to submit to each other, as he's talking about that, he actually starts to talk about the family, and then he stops for one second. He goes, I'm also talking about the church. You see, because as we see the picture of the family painted in Scripture, Paul wants you to see that the family reflects the church, and the church reflects the family. This is part of what it means to be called. The family should look like this little picture, this little glimpse of the church. The calling of the church is the same as the calling of the family. The family is the smallest expression that we have of the church. In other words, when you go home from here and you go home and you eat your meal after dessert today, right? Get an ice cream first, and then eat your meal. You're not going home from church. You're going home to be church. That's the way Scripture looks at it. One of the old saints of the church, St. Augustine, one of the theologians of the church, he liked to talk about this. He actually would use the term the domestic church. That's what he would call the family. The domestic church. that the life, the nature, and the mission of the church is actually contained in the microcosm in the family. And so in this family, we actually have a mission, a calling, just like the church does. But I don't know about you, but I don't often think about my family that way. I don't go, well, what's our calling? What's our mission? But what if you started to see your family as being part of a mission, that was your purpose? What if you started to kind of move the focus off the little things that are right in front of you, the problems that bog you down day in and day out as you focus so tightly on making the perfect family, and you start to look up and see that God has called you to be missionaries, that you're to be on mission? And what if you worked and had conversations with your family, whatever that looks like, wherever kind of you are as a family? What if you started to have conversations to say to each other, hey, we're part of this mission, and you start to point it out. We're part of God's mission in the world, and you talked about it. You began to rally each other around the mission that God has called you to. How would that change your family? How would that begin to change the focus of how you go about family? How would that kind of take you out of this place so often you find yourself in frustration because it's not perfect? You don't have it perfect. You start to see this bigger picture God has called you to. Now, here's the deal. We have to be careful. There's a pastor named Mike Breen that kind of lays this out really carefully, and he says sometimes we kind of think about this dichotomy. We say, well, we can either be a family or we can be a missionary. I can be a family-focused person, or I can be a kind of a missionary person, but, you know, to do both, that's not really a thing. Is it family or mission? But we know that's not how Scripture lays it out, that we're actually part of a mission as a family, and so that's not a good choice. We kind of reject that choice. It's not family or mission. So then we say, okay, we love Jesus, we want to be part of that, and we know we're supposed to be on mission, but I've got a lot of family business. You know, my family is busy. There's not a lot of extra time, and so here's what we're going to do, though. We're going to try to add mission on top of family. There may be some programs that the church is part of, and we're going to kind of add those programs on top of what we're already doing as family. Now, for some of you, you got plenty of time, and that's a good plan. But for others of you, if I say that, you just look at your calendar, you just start laughing. You're like, there's no way we can add anything else to, you know, what our family looks like. And so we'll try to add something. Maybe once a year we'll do some mission project, and that's about as good as we can do, but it's not really sustainable. What we need to do, though, is something completely different. It's just to reframe kind of who we are and how we see ourselves and how we go about our already going on kind of life. See, we need to be a family on mission. It's not family and mission. We're not going to add mission on top of it. We're going to begin to relook at the things that we do, the things that we already do, the places that we already are. What if we began to see ourselves as missionaries in the current context we're already in? Not something that we add on top of this, but we start to say, hey, wait a minute. We are missionaries right here in the community that we've already been called into. Now, what would that look like? Well, if I say, hey, we're kind of this small picture of the church, that the family, as we go home to church, and so the family has the same kind of calling as a church. What do we do as a church? We're kind of three big pieces. We talk about this when we talk about the Great Commission, and we've talked about it several times. The first is to care for people that are far from God, to love our neighbors, to reach out to those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know, to love people that are not here yet is sometimes what we talk about, right? As a church, we'll say, they're not here yet. And now here's the thing, here's the trick. It's good to do that as a church. We're going to always be a church that cares about those who are far from God. We're always going to be a church that loves our neighbors. We're going to be looking to those opportunities and relationships. But it's actually hard as a church to grab people that are far from God and just bring them in here, right? It just, we don't, we, you know, as a church, that's not an easy thing to do. We don't have a lot of relationships as a church with people who are far from God. You know who does have a lot of relationships with people that are far from God? Our families do, right? Like your family, my family, we live on streets with lots of pagans all around, you know, just people, all kinds of people, you know. We live around people that are far from God. And the scripture says, you know what it looks like to be a family on mission? It's to be a family that on purpose is looking for people to love. That we begin to look at the street that we live on, the people that we live around, the neighborhood that we're in, and we start to say, hey, these are people that are God's children. And our purpose isn't just to get by, just to get through, but it's to actually love them. And then through that love and through that relationship, to point them towards Christ, to this relationship with God that really they all long for, that they just don't even know. And so this can play out as our family, to reach out to those that are far from God. As a church, we're also called to build up. We're called to build up the believers. We're called to build up the community around us, the places that are broken, to be a part of God's redemption, of God's repair of the community. And as families, what if that was your calling? That as a family, you started looking around and saying, this is what it means to be a family. Our family, you know, our family right here, we're placed here on mission to be a part of repairing the brokenness in the community around us. That's just who we are as a family. This is just the kind of thing that we do. This is what we're about. This is where we spend our time and our energy and our purpose. What if those are the things that as a family, as you gathered, you began to pray about? What if as you began to look at your calendars, you started to say, hey, we're going to be a part of some repair work. We're going to be a part of changing things. We're going to be a part of healing things. What if as you looked at your neighborhood, you said, this is our job, to be a part of the repair of this neighborhood and this community? The other thing that churches do, we say they're to reach out to those who are far from God. They're to build up community and then we say churches are to equip people to do the ministry that they're called to do. We equip and send people to do ministry. Now that's kind of tricky sometimes in a family. I don't like to think about that. You know, when I think about my children, I think my job as a parent is to get all the right stuff into them. You know, I got to kind of get it all set up and make sure I only got so many years, and I got to cram in all the learning I know in. I got to make sure that they can, you know, take care of themselves. They got to at least be able to cook ramen noodles, you know, and they need to know about deodorant and things like that. And I got to make sure it got all that in there. And they've got the right academics, and I packed that in on them. And they've got a little bit of athletics or some kind of sport, maybe some other little talents. I'm trying to make sure they're a good person, that they're kind and polite at least, and stuff like that. I look at my kids, I got to do all that. I got to get it all set up because I feel like they're my little product, you know? But that's not how God views our children. You know, our children are actually God's children. They're not really even mine. I'm just a steward. Like, my job is to equip them for the calling that God has for them, to equip them for the ministry that God has for them and the purpose that God has for them. And what if we begin to look at our jobs as that, and not just for our kids, but for our spouses and for each other? What if we began to encourage and equip the people around us in our family for ministry? And that was one of the goals that we had as a family, is to send each other off into ministry every day. What would that look like? What if your family were missionaries? You were called to your street. What if you said, you know, we live, instead of saying we live on this street because it's got the best shade. I don't know. Why do we say we live on the street? Memphis shade's a pretty good reason, right? I mean, it's good shade on this street. We live here because the nicest street, or I don't know what. What if we said, instead of saying, hey, we live on this street because it's the beautifulest street, we said, we live on this street because God actually called us here. Like, we're the missionaries here. God called us to this place, to this neighborhood, to get to know these neighbors, to love them toward the kingdom. Or maybe for you, it's not a street. Maybe it's a pickleball club. You guys have pickleball clubs? Maybe God called you not to this pickleball club because you got a good chance of winning the tournament, but he called you as a missionary to your pickleball club or whatever your club is. God put you in this little group that gets together every once in a while around the pool to hang out. Not just to hang out around the pool, but he actually called you as a missionary What if you began to help your family see that, whatever your family looks like, to see the purpose of where you are, the places that you've been put, so be missionaries there. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, and then he writes in Colossians chapters 3 and 4. We're going to turn to Colossians this morning. It's really interesting because in both of those places, those are the two places we've looked at for the last few weeks. These are the places where Paul starts talking about the family. How do you interact? How do you care for each other? How do you love each other? He talks about how do you submit to each other and how do you live out this biblical principles in your family. But in each one, Paul makes this kind of curious little statement as part of the context. It's just sort of, in this one, it just comes just after. So this is, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 2 through 6. Now, it's in chapter 3 that he's talking to the families. And it's just part of that conversation. And as he wraps up this conversation about how to live your faith out as families, he says this. This is chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is an odd little statement. Be on the lookout for every opportunity. That's what he says both times he's talking to families. Here's your mission. Be missionaries. Here's your mission. Be on the lookout. Be looking for every opportunity. Here in Colossians, he goes even further. He says, have every conversation that you have. Be full of grace, sprinkled with salt. You know, when I'm saying, hey, be a missionary, tell your family to be missionaries, some of you are going, well, how do you do that? Do we get missionary t-shirts, you know, and your Green Advent, you know, volunteer t-shirt? That's a good start, right? But no, there are no missionary t-shirts. There's not a missionary, you know, button you can wear or anything like that. Paul says, be on the lookout for every opportunity. When Cam and I first were married, we moved to Houston. This family moved in next door with four kids. We had none. It was just exhausting just to listen to them over there. I mean, how you trust people with four kids? You know, we have four. I know, but I like, oh man. I mean, it was mayhem. It was madness, and that family started to change our neighborhood. And you know how they did it? They were front yard neighbors. Now, here's what I mean by this. They had a beautiful backyard, playground, everything. You know, very, very nice. But they didn't play in the backyard. They got some ratty old lawn chairs, and they just sat them right in the front yard. And those parents would sit in the front yard, and their kids would play in the front yard, and I would try to drive home. Now, I've got a remote control on my garage door so that I can, you know, I can hit it from a distance, get that door up, slide my car right in the garage, and have that sucker going down before my car is even parked, right? That way, I don't have to talk to anybody. You know, I just right in. Those guys would wave you down, you know, and they're going to just wave. They want to say something. You got to roll the window down. Got to talk, and there they are playing in the neighborhood. They just loved people. It's nothing spectacular. They loved Jesus. They cared about people. They decided to make an effort. It was a conscious decision. We're going to be front yard neighbors. Sometimes we annoy everyone. You know, that's how that works. So they had one of those signs that goes out that says, you know, kids at play, and has a little flag. You know what I'm talking about? We're all like, come on, get the sign. One of the neighbors kept moving the sign back. They just put it back out. You know, kids. Eventually, life started to change. I was a pastor. I lived next door to them. People started going to church. Not to my church. They went to their church, right? Because they loved people. they were missionaries, and they saw that that was their job as a family. It was just, it wasn't something they added on. It was just what they did as a family. They just loved people. They cared about people. They shared God's love with those people. Impacted that whole neighborhood. Now, they were extroverts, you know. We're not all going to stand in the front yard and wave. Some of you are just too grouchy to do that anyhow, and the rest of us are offended. If you're out in your, when you're in your yard, we're ducking, you know. We don't want to, some of us are introverts. I've got different neighbors these days, and one of my neighbors got, you know, was not well and had to go to the hospital and just needed some help, and I did not notice. I didn't notice a bit. One of my other neighbors did, because they pay attention. It's quiet. They're not standing in the yard. But they knew because they ask questions and they check in. And they just quietly got little text messages going on, and they gathered some neighbors to care for them, and they showed up at a moment where they just really needed some help. They saw their job as to be missionaries in the neighborhood, to be part of the building up of the community, to be part of God's healing of things that were broken, and they just did that. They just did it. See, they were missionaries. They were looking for every opportunity. As we start to do this with our families, as we start to turn our families towards this, we start to say, this is who we are as a family. We get our focus off of ourselves and on the calling that God has for us. We become families on mission. Let me pray for us. God, would you help my family to be a family on mission? Would you help each of our families in the different places of life that we find ourselves, in the different kind of makeups of families that we are? God, for every one of us, what we need are eyes to see it. Help us to start to see ourselves as missionaries, part of your mission, called right to the community that you have us in. Help us to make the most of every opportunity. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.